It is no secret what God can do. I know a man who can. And I know who holds tomorrow. I wonder what I'm going to preach on this morning. You'd think we would have coordinated something. But I like the way God works. If you've got your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter number 7. And I'm going to begin reading at verse number 11, Luke chapter 7 and verse 11. 7:11. The Bible says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him and much people. And now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not. And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, Young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God had visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about." There's a few things here that I want to bring to your attention out of these verses that I just read to you. The first thing I want you to look at is the condition of the situation. She is hurting. This is a dead man is being carried out. The only son that this mother has. No other children. The Bible doesn't say that she had other children. This is the only one, as far as what I can gather, that this mother had. I have never had to bury one of my children. But they tell me that that is the worst hurt that any parent can ever go through, is to bury one of their own. It's not supposed to be that way. Children are supposed to bury their parents, not the other way around. I could just imagine the hurt, the pain that the death of this child would bring. I see the hopelessness. You'll read in verse number 12 that she is a widow. That means that she's already lost her husband. And now she's lost her only child, her only son. I see that she's in a great deal. She's helpless now. There's not anything that she can do. She's heartbroken. All hope is gone. You see, in that day and time, in that culture, it was the son's responsibility. When the father had passed, it was the son's responsibility to take care of his mother, to have a place of a provision for her, provide a house for her, food, clothing, money. It was the son's place and his position to take care of that. She was getting ready to face reality. All hope now is gone. How many has the devil told you that it's too far gone? It's impossible. Just go ahead and stick a fork in it. Throw in the towel. Give in. Bury that dead thing. Throw up the white flag. It's out of control. It's over. There's nothing you can do. The healing won't come. The need is too great. That relationship can't be restored. It's over. But when Jesus shows up, it's not over. I'm preaching this morning on it's not over. I see not only the condition of the situation, but I see the compassion. This is where business starts to pick up. I want you to look at something with me in verse number 11. He says there that, and many of his disciples, the last part of verse 11, and many of his disciples were with him. I don't know who all the disciples was that was there. The Bible doesn't say that they was all 12 there, but many of them was there. And it said, and much people. I don't know what the crowd was like following Christ that day. I can imagine, just imagine that he had a multitude. I know whenever he broke the bread and the fish, Sister Anita, there was 4,000 on one occasion and 5,000 plus the women and children. I don't know how many that there was that followed him into this city, but there was a group of people. Now, I want you to look with me in verse number 12. The end of that verse. And much people of the city was with her. So I don't know how many was there. It may have been 100. It may have been 50. I don't know. But I want you to get this picture. Jesus is coming into the city with his disciples and much people. She's coming out of the city with her dead son, a funeral possession, and much people. I think I'd be safe to saying there was a crowd there that day. They was coming out and they was going in. They was meeting each other head on. But I want you to look at verse number 13. And he saw her. We may be 75 to 100 people here this morning. But listen to me. He sees you. You may be in a crowd. You may be one of a number. But whatever you're in, whatever hurting that you've got, the Lord sees you. He had compassion on her. The word compassion, it simply means sorrow for the suffering and the hurt of another. And I like the last part of that definition. It says accompanied by an urge to help. Whew. He had compassion on her. With an urge to help. Are you hearing me today? You don't have to leave here like you came. In Jesus' name. He cares for you. He sees you where you're at and what you're going through. Not only do I see the condition, I see the compassion, but I see the command. Go back with me, if you will, to verse number 14. And he come and touched the bier. That's a casket, if you don't know. I've been in a lot of funeral possessions. And Brother Dave, usually they'll have what they call pallbearers. Usually it's six. Sometimes I don't know how big an old boy this guy was. Sometimes they may have, I've seen as high as eight people as pallbearers on a casket. Well, what's that got to do with anything? You didn't catch that, did you? And he came and touched the bier. There was hands already all over that thing. They was touching it. But when he touched it, you know, it's some of the biggest messes I've ever had in my life. I've had my hands all over it. I want to fix it my way. I want to do it the way I want to do it. I'm going to take charge. I'm going to take control. But whenever I finally give up and say, Lord, I need you to put your hands on it, it makes a difference. I thought about what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, what Paul said, I know my problems, I know my troubles, but I'm just going to let the Master take care of it. Let him touch it. Quit trying to fix it. Quit trying to change it. It's out of your hands. Let him put his hands on it. Put it in his hands. It's no wonder that when Jairus came to Jesus, he fell down before him and asked him to lay hands on his daughter that she may be healed and may live. You'll read in Mark chapter 7 that they brought a man that was both deaf and dumb and beseeched him to put his hands upon him. I hope this morning someone will walk to the altar and say, Lord, I need you to put your hands on this situation. Why? Because it'll make a difference when Jesus comes on the scene. In verse number 14, I want you to read the rest of this with me. And they bear him stood still. And they that bear him stood still. And he gave the commandment, arise. You know, I like that old psalm, Psalms chapter 33 and verse 9. It says, for he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. When he speaks, sickness listens. You remember in Mark chapter 1, the leper. He said, Lord, if thou will make me be clean. And the Bible goes on to say, and as soon as he spoke, sickness had to listen. In Mark chapter 4, I just preached on that last Sunday. You remember the storms had come whenever they was upon the Sea of Galilee. He rebuked the seas and he spoke to the winds, and the winds obeyed. In Mark chapter 8, you'll find out that even the devils are subject unto him. You remember legions that was among the tombs that cut himself and they tried to bind him and couldn't hold him. He spoke to legions. And he said to go, and the devil had to flee out of him and fled into the swine that drowned in the sea. Even the demons have to listen to him when he speaks. Matthew chapter 9, you'll read that they let a man down through the roof. And Jesus looked at him and said, thy sins be forgiven. Even sin has to listen to him. And we'll find out from our passage this morning that even death has to listen to his voice. The scripture says, I believe it's in the book of John, says, never a man spake like this man. What are you trying to say? When Jesus shows up, the impossible is not over. I see the conqueror. I got plumb excited when I got to reading this. Look in verse 15. The first five words, and he that was dead. He that was dead. I was a lot of things, Brother Isaac. And good wasn't any part of it. I used to be a scoundrel. I used to be a no good. I was a low life. I was a teacher's worst nightmare. I was a principal's most... I was on the frequent flyer list, let's just say. They knew me by first name. One of my teachers told my parents, says, I don't know if he'll ever amount to anything. Tell you what, that wasn't a very good parent-teacher conference. I had some explaining to do. But you see what he said? He was dead. He that was dead. I ain't what I was, but it's not over. As far as the mother, the pallbearers, the crowd that day, it was over. He that was dead sat up and began to speak. And then I see that he delivered him to his mother. The city of Nain, we don't know a lot about it, but we know it comes from a Hebrew origin. It means the home or a pleasant place. I believe that instead of a funeral, they had a feast. I believe that Jesus and the followers, the disciples that he had with him that day, the crowd that was with her, the crowd that was with him, I believe they converged on a sweet place and they had a feast and a celebration. I thought about my wife's got a devotional, and I've always been interested in music. I like music, and it's a book about songs. And there was a preacher by the name of G.A. Young, and a Nazarene preacher. Old-timey man of God that preached it straight. Back in that day, money was tight. And they began scrimping and saving, trying to get ahead. And they finally got ahead and built a little cabin. Had a little piece of ground and built it, nothing fancy. They got called to go off to preach a revival. They coming home from the revival. Their home had been burnt to the ground. The embers were still smoldering. Some of the locals there didn't like what he was preaching and what he was standing against, what he was standing for, and they caught him gone and burned his home down. His wife come to him and asked him, said, G.A., what are we going to do now? He said, we're going to trust the same God we've always have. He hasn't changed addresses. I thought about that passage in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Some of the local town folks had offered to give them a place to stay. Staying there in someone else's home. G.A. come home one day just as skipping and as happy as he could be. The wife asked him, what's going on? He said, God gave me a song. Lost his house, but God gave me a song. Some of you probably know it. We still sing it some here. The song goes like this. Some through the water and some through the flood. Some through the fire, but all through the blood. Some through great sorrow, but God gave a song in the night season, and all the day long. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but can I tell you that He sees you where you're at? I'm going to ask you to come this morning and give it to the Master. We can put our hands all over it, but when He touches it, when we give it to Him and He touches it, then we see the command and we see the conqueror. It is no secret what my God can do. Come back to the music, if you will. I preached long enough. I know a man who can. I don't know what tomorrow looks like, Brother Dave, but I know who holds tomorrow. I can face it as long as He's with me. When it looks impossible, it looks like there's nothing that I can do and the storms are raging, I can give it to Him. You may have a wayward child, and it looks like there's no hope. I'm here to tell you it's not over. It's not over. I've seen relationships that family and friends have given up on. But you know, when God likes to work, it's when everybody else says that it won't work. That's a fact. When you get the diagnosis that there's no hope, stage 4 cancer, when you get the bad news, let me tell you, it's not over.